with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus and his disciples set out for the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And along the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they said in reply, "Some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." And then he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter said to him in reply, "You are the Christ." And then he warned them not to tell anyone about him. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer greatly, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, be killed, and rise after 3 days. He spoke this openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. And he turned around and said, looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get behind me, Satan. You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do." He summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake and for the gospel will save it." The Gospel of the Lord. In our Gospel text for every Sunday, we're locked into the Gospel of Mark for the remaining of the liturgical year, with one exception. And for a few weeks now, we're dealing with a construct, a section in the Gospel of Mark, which is very, very fundamental. If we grasp this section, the whole gospel will come into focus. Chapter 8, 9, and 10 in the Gospel of Mark will make up the substance of our gospel readings for the next few weeks. Now, next Sunday, I'll miss this because I'll be out of town at a wedding in the great state of Montana. I know. So I'll miss next Sunday, but the Sundays after that, we'll be back. Let me tell you a little bit about this construct, these chapters in Mark, that if you reflect on these in the next few weeks, you will catch the essence of the proclamation of Jesus Christ. Let me locate this for you. I think people are helped if they get some mental understanding, some visual about where these places are. Let's take Camarillo, 60 miles north of here. That's where Jesus lives most of his life, around Camarillo. Up there, Sea of Galilee, Nazareth, Mount of Beatitudes, Capernaum, Cana, all these places are all up there around Camarillo. This is Jerusalem here, where we are. Up around Camarillo, there's a little town called Bethsaida. It's a fishing town. It's a village on the Sea of Galilee. That's where chapter 8 begins. And chapter 8 will take you on a journey north to Ventura, about 25 miles north of Camarillo, to a place called Caesarea Philippi. Read that in the Gospel. Caesarea Philippi, they will have teachings there, and after they're finished there, predictions of the Passion, Transfiguration, they'll journey south all the way from Caesarea from Ventura down to Holy Family,
back to Jerusalem. Chapter 11, they'll get to Jerusalem. So this is a loop that happens. And in this loop, Jesus is teaching his disciples. And today's gospel has got one of those teachings. It begins in chapter 8, where Jesus heals a man who is blind. Now that's important, because in this is the only miracle that does not happen immediately. He anoints the man's eyes. He says, "Can you see?" And he says, "I can see trees, so they look like people, trees that are moving." He anoints him a second time, and then he can see clearly. What Mark means to tell us here is that faith does not happen in an instant. Faith happens in a growing. So he anoints him a second time. That's the implication of this miracle as we begin this journey from Camarillo to Ventura and back to South Pasadena. So up around Ventura, Caesarea Philippi, Jesus gives the first prediction of his passion. He will speak about his passion three times on this journey. And all three times, his disciples do not want to hear about the passion of Christ. Actually, the second prediction of the passion, when they hear it, they said they didn't understand it completely, but they were afraid to ask him. It's one of those times when you know the answer, you don't want to ask because you don't like the answer. So they don't ask him because they're afraid they really understood it correctly, that Jesus is predicting his passion. Son of Man will be subjected to be judged. The high priest will reject him. He will be spat upon. He will be condemned. He will suffer. He will die on the cross. That's what they hear. He also says he will rise again. They don't hear that. So now, what does this mean to us? Well, the first prediction of the passion here, which we have in today's gospel, Peter says, "God forbid this would happen to you. This can't happen to you. We belong to a church of miracles. We belong to a Jesus who is powerful. We belong to a Jesus who conquers the world. We belong to a Messiah who will restore the wonder and the greatness of Israel. We don't belong to a Messiah who will be rejected and suffer and die a failure. We're in here for a winning team. We join a winning team." Jesus predicts his passion. What does this mean to us to begin with? Well, when I was ordained a priest 60 years ago, I was 24 years old. The church was the biggest, the strongest, the richest in the world. It was a powerful church. I was chosen, I was blessed, I was anointed, I was admired. It was wonderful. Didn't hear much about the passion. I didn't hear about that. I heard about all the blessings. I heard about the glory. I heard about the success. I had seen priests. I had been inspired by priests. And I saw it's a wonderful life. I know there was sacrifice, but the blessings far outweighed the sacrifice. Nobody said to me, "You're going to follow Jesus Christ. You're going to follow the Christ who will be rejected, who will be judged, who will be set aside, who will be deemed a failure by standards of the world, will be lonely, will be empty, will be betrayed, and will die on the cross. That's the Christ you're going to follow." So wait a minute. I thought I was getting into a success, a powerful church, a rich, famous. I thought I was going to be a messianic person. All of a sudden, somebody is telling me, no, you're going to have to carry a cross. Now, not one of us begins the journey of life making a promise to carry a cross. I mean, when you were looking for somebody to marry, you didn't say, well, there's a lot of nice guys out there, but I'm looking for a pain in the butt. So I have to find somebody who will make me sacrifice. Or the guy is looking for a woman. He says, there are some incredible women, but I got somebody who is really a burden. I need a burden in my life. So I'm going to choose this woman because she's a burden. That's not the way we think. When we begin, we think by a glory road. We're caught in a romance. We're caught in this incredible thing. I was Peter, and you, somewhere in your life, if you're single, you thought, okay, I'm looking for this incredible messianic person. Maybe you're still looking. We're Peter. We don't know much about the sacrifice. We know their sacrifice, but we see the blessings. We see the gift. We see the opportunity. We see the vision. We see the beauty. We see the wonder, the miracles. And then a voice comes saying, but there's great sacrifice involved. Well, I don't want to know about the sacrifice right now. I'll deal with that later. Right now, I want to celebrate the success and the wonder. That's Peter. That's you, and that's me, somewhere in your life. And then a second time, Jesus says, you want to follow me? Take up your cross and follow me. Don't worry, you'll get the cross. The cross will come. And when the cross comes, you must take up your cross willingly and follow Jesus Christ. You will find the meaning of life and the meaning of discipleship in the manner in which you follow Jesus Christ, passion, death, and resurrection, not just in the miracles. What does this mean to us, that Jesus calls us to a discipleship carrying the cross? A couple of weeks from now, I go back to the City of Hope. I go back there every few months to get checked up. I'm healthy, but they just want to make sure I stay healthy. So they bring me back every few months. I go there early in the morning. I go there earlier than I've needed to go there. I carry a satchel with me most of the time I travel. It's got a book in it, a pen, and it's got a journal. They send me into this clinic to do blood tests first. And I register, and then I sit and I wait. And I look around at these people, many of them carrying very heavy burdens of cancer. And I write my journal. And I say, wow, these are amazing people. I can see something that I can't see outside of this environment. After the bloods, I go down to wait for the doctor, and I see young people ravaged with disease, struggling. See, elderly people like my age who can't walk, they have to be assisted. And everybody has a companion except me. I don't need a companion. A son, a daughter, a husband, a wife. They're carrying the cross with them. I see something that I could not see out in the world. I see the cross. I see sacrifice. I see love. I see generosity. I see wonder. And I see it in the cross. Could it be true when Mother Teresa says, you cannot serve the poor unless you become poor? You can't hand down to the poor. You have to become poor in order to serve the poor. And I saw this in Calcutta, where 200 nuns sitting on the floor at mass in the sweltering heat of Calcutta, no air conditioning. The poor don't have air conditioning, we don't have air conditioning. This is the food for the poor, same food for us. To serve the poor, we have to become poor. So to be disciples of Jesus Christ, we have to become like Jesus Christ. Is it possible then that you have to fail? If you don't fail, how will you understand any other person's failure? Could it be that you have to make mistakes and experience forgiveness? If you don't think you need forgiveness, how will you be a forgiving person for someone else? If you've never felt lonely in your life, how will you understand somebody who feels lonely? If you haven't experienced death in your life or sickness in your life, how will you begin to relate to people experience the sadness of death or the burden of sickness? Could it be that without the cross, we will not understand the meaning of life? Without sacrifice, there is no journey. There is no discipleship in Jesus Christ. Could it be that following this journey of Jesus to Caesarea Philippi and all the way to Jerusalem is our journey? And Jesus keeps reminding us, the Son of Man must suffer, he must be rejected, go through difficulty, he must go through failure, he must go through all of this worldly rejection, and I must follow him. And now I will find meaning in the suffering. Now I will find meaning. I won't have to be resentful, I won't have to be judgmental, because somehow God has led me to this place. I anoint my loneliness. I uplift the sacrifice I have to make. I share the forgiveness I have received. I bless those because I have been blessed. That's what it means to follow Jesus Christ. When Pope John Paul II was elected Pope, 1978, Cardinal Manning was in the conclave, and he was a friend of Cardinal Wojtyla because they were made cardinals together in 1973. When he was elected, he was a rock star. I mean, he was handsome, he was brilliant, he was charismatic, he was powerful. He had all the answers. I mean, he was a leader, and we were really uplifted, given confidence by the strength and the power of this man. We've made him a saint. Pope Francis, when he was elected, his first interview shortly after he was elected, he was asked, how would you describe Jorge Bergoglio? And he paused for a while. And then he said, I am a sinner. And I said, the other man impressed me, but this man, he inspires me. I think I can relate to him. He meets me where I am. He meets me in my brokenness. He meets me in my emptiness, in my struggle, in my search. This is my Pope, my kind of person. This is Jesus Christ saying, come and walk with me. Walk with me in charity, in forgiveness, in understanding. Walk with me in welcoming people, in blessing people, in looking for good in people. That's him. They may never make him a saint, but without being a saint, perhaps for us, he is a saint. So listen to this gospel reading now for the next few weeks and allow this gospel an insight into what it means to carry your cross, what it means to be burdened, what it means to have to carry something that belongs to another person as unjustly put on you. What does it mean when life isn't fair? How do I find a spirituality of the cross that says, I rejoice in following Jesus Christ in light and in darkness, in the good times and in the hard times. I rejoice in following Jesus Christ in miracles and in times without a miracle. I rejoice in following Jesus Christ when I prayed to win the lotto and I didn't win the lotto. When I put a bet on number 7 in the 7th race and number 7 collapsed, I rejoice in Jesus Christ. How do I catch this? That's what we find in this journey from Camarillo to Ventura to South Pasadena, following Jesus Christ. It's a long journey. It takes a long time to walk that. And in some ways, for us, in our journey of life, it's a long walk. Amen.